want to build your faith? Do you desire to have a true encounter with God through His Word? Then listen to Logos Rhema Hour with Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobing, Head Pastor of Harvest Chapel International, Kumasi. He is a seasoned man of God and a teacher of the Word in its truth and simplicity. Make time with us each and every Monday to Friday at 2 p.m. on Spirit 88.3 FM as we encounter the Word of Truth. God richly bless you.
You and I, we have a calling. We don't want to fast. You don't want to pray. When we call for a fast, you think we are doing something. Listen, it is better for you. Get this truth. Let it sink in your spirit. It's scriptural. What we are teaching here, there's nothing that is of our own manufacturing or doing. It is better to be spiritual than to be carnal. Let them call us as a church too spiritual. It is a better testimony than being labeled as a carnal church. Because you never win the war in your carnality. Contrarily, being spiritual, calling for fasting and praying, doing everything, living righteous, holy life, modeling the life of Jesus Christ, it stands, oh God, in our advantage. That, if you like, maybe, let me put it this way for the skeptics. Maybe, just maybe, you will win the battle for your life. That's why you do it. Just maybe. But we know, We are on pure footing and on solid ground. We will win if we continue this way. Hallelujah. We will win. Hallelujah. With the Holy Spirit as our commander, obedience, obeying, do this. Some days you wake up and say, don't eat. You know His voice. Sometimes you then wake up and say, oh, is it fried eggs or wheat? We are boiled egg. And you are in the spirit for food. Hallelujah. And if you are in Harvest Chapel, Kumasi, before you say that, your phone bells and say, oh, today is a fast day. You say, you have to revise your notes. So, oh, Pastor, cry. Why didn't he say it? Cry 2 weeks ago. Hallelujah. My mama planning me Spanish omelette Vienna. Amen. So, to err on the side of caution, let us be more spiritual than carnal. Hallelujah. So that being spiritual, we'll be able to connect with God, the Holy Spirit. He speaks. He wants to interact with us. He has the battle plan for your life. Oh my God, how you can win the war. Amen. How you can win every battle. He never said there will not be battles, but there will be battles. And when they come, where do we turn to? We go to the commander-in-chief. What do I do? What do I say? How do we overcome this? That's why you need the Holy Spirit, not just needing Him, but to know how to interact with Him, how to hear His voice, and critically, how to be obedient. And trust. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. For those of us who were inundated and assaulted by demonics, I always tell people who are under demonic attacks, it will go. Oh, it will go. Ah, my God. I went into the queue, pray for me, never went. I thank God He didn't go, and God said, get up! And take frontline position in your own life. I want to teach you how to warfare. Hallelujah. Train your hands for warfare. Amen. You always want to join the queue. You never learn how to pray. No. It will always be upside and down, upside today. But you want full victory. Amen. And that's why, don't rely on pastor's prayers. Doesn't mean we won't pray for you, but don't rely too much. Get on your knees. You don't know what to say. The Holy Spirit will help you. It says when we come to the place of prayer, we don't know what to say. We don't know how to pray. But the blessed Holy Spirit, with sighs and groanings, He helps us cry out to God. Hallelujah. That's why the Holy Spirit's ministry in your life, it's a necessity. Hallelujah. Something that cannot be traded off. Hallelujah. And I said the other one is that, last time I said it, that it doesn't matter. It's not for just the educated, because we need to know the story. And the story does not depend on you being educated. And Jesus illustrated it. Hallelujah. He picked fishermen. Hallelujah. He picked crooks. Amen. Oh my God. Tax collectors. Amen. Unschooled people. And then he trained them. Every trade. You go through a period of apprenticeship. Carpentry, whatever. Masonry, blacksmith, whatever. You go through. So we are not looking at the formal education. But you and I, even besides that, you and I, who have gained by the grace of God much higher education, if we cooperate, we become better tools in the hands of God. And you and I should be reading more of the word so we can help our uneducated brothers and sisters. But what happens? We don't know the Jesus story. Because the more you know, the more useful you are in the hands of God. At a point in time, in your readings, sooner than later, mind should rally among. That is why God gave you an education. For me, that's it. I understood that, oh my God. So I understand why God took me to the university and then he facilitated every learning experience that I have obtained. Not just because of that, but so I'll be able to understand kingdom principles. Because it's very, very key. And cooperate with his spirit. Hallelujah. Because the kingdom of God is so important. And in warfare, it's very important who gives the instructions. Wars and battles are won not on the battlefield, but in the war room. They say situation room, where the battle plans are formulated and instructions given to all the fighters to execute the plan for victory. No indisciplined army ever won a war. No. No way. The more you resist the influence of the Holy Spirit, the more you run your life, in discipline. You have to be ordered. It's warfare. Look at the thing that we are up against. Ephesians 6:12. And you see it raging around your family and friends and your own life. Your own life. Sometimes it's battle. So sometimes you get hit and you fall and you rise up again. And yes, so you don't want to order your life. You don't want to buy anything. It's a coincidence. We dismiss them as coincidence. In an undisciplined or indisciplined army, everyone executes his own battle plan. And that's a recipe for disaster. You want to run your own life as a believer, tongue speaking, Holy Spirit filled. And yes, so you are running the show. You fail. That's why you must know the voice. You must yearn to know the voice. Do everything. And all it's all there in the scriptures, how we can do it. So we can discern the voice of the Holy Spirit. Else you will never win the war over your life and that of your family and loved ones. If you continue by choice to remain carnal instead of being spiritual. Hallelujah. And being spiritual simply means having the ability to receive explicit instructions from the Holy Spirit and executing them. That's all being spiritual is about. And as a pastor, we can't deny it. Most times God speaks. And when he speaks, we just have to be obedient. I always say that I would rather obey the voice of God than to obey the voice of the people. Woe betides you if the Holy Spirit leaves you. And so if you do, church people will leave. I say, look, people don't understand these things. If they leave, choosing between people leaving and God leaving, who brought the people in the first place? King Saul took his vote for the people. He said, the people. And then God said, I rejected you. He did all his pleading. God said, no, it's over. The kingdom is taken away from you. Who called you? He said, when you were little in your own eyes, I called you, elevated you as king. He said, oh, the people said, we want some kebabs. So I preserved and said, kebabs. I'm taking back my throne. Found myself another man who will be obedient to me. And as a pastor, you know this. And yes, sir, you don't cooperate with the Spirit, but rather cooperate with people. When you hear the voice of God, and church, let's understand. We are teaching these things so that we cooperate with our pastors. The raging war, for some of us, the war is raging over our lives because we are not cooperating with our pastors. Amen. Hallelujah. We are on the same page with our pastors. And I'm saying that I'm calling for this church and everybody at the sound of my voice, we must be on the same page. We all have the same Holy Spirit to instruct us. And let's walk in unison, and the Latin word is in pari passu with the Holy Spirit. As he takes, we take. He instructs, we instruct and we obey. And the victory will come. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is our commander in chief. Hallelujah. Amen. All this is very important because verse 2. Now let's go back to verse 2. Because Jesus, I mean, the man is resurrected, but look at it. Verse 2, he said, so began to teach and to do until the day, teach and do until the day he was taken up to heaven. So Jesus Christ, post-resurrection, was so enamored with getting the message and the understanding distilled into the souls of his disciples. Because they need to understand where we are going. They need to understand the kingdom that they have been enrolled into. Hallelujah. Amen. So now that we have hopefully settled the understanding that God created us for a purpose, we know, hallelujah, all about the unfortunate happenings in the garden. We are talking about the story of God. God is now on a charm offensive. It seems that God cannot and would not put off about the divine agenda and purpose of the creation. The entire Bible, the entire story of God, right from Genesis to the Revelation, it forms the entire story of God. About the kind of world that you and I are in. Hallelujah. About the divine agenda and the purpose for the creation. Yes, man sinned and fell from the grace that he had with God in Eden. But God went on a mission of restoring humankind by his side so that the purpose of creation could still be pursued and hopefully established. Amen. We're talking about the kingdom. God could simply not go ahead and do his own thing and forget about man. That is not impossible. God is establishing his kingdom, but man, God could have done away with man. After man sinned, he could have just pushed the man aside. Remember, he has said, the day you sin, you shall die. And anytime we look at the Bible, we say, so why didn't God kill Adam and Eve right there in the Garden of Eden? Then you and I would never have existed. Hallelujah. And then he would have started afresh. But God could simply not go ahead and do his own thing. But remember the way he created man. Because John 3:16 tells us, God didn't do that. Why? Love. God so loved the world that he gave. So God embarked on a risky adventure to redeem man and get him on his side and continue with the agenda of establishing the kingdom of God. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom is so important to God. When God established or created the heavens and earth, he was looking at his kingdom. Because this successful establishment is foremost on the mind of God. Remember, as I said, verse 3. Look at verse 3. Further instruction through the Holy Spirit, giving all the proof because of the kingdom of God. What was he talking about? And what is this kingdom of God that Jesus was so, if you like, consumed with it that he spent 40 good days post, you know, you would have thought it should have been party time. After all, the man has resurrected. We should be partying. Yeah, I mean, it was a cause for celebration. No, it was rather a time for education. Going over and over, trying to prove. He says that all the post-resurrection appearances was to tell them, look, there is life after death. Look, this is what will happen to you if you help me to establish the kingdom of God. There is a certain kingdom that must be established here on earth. A kingdom that takes its roots out in the heavens. A kingdom, my God, Roma Sande Nimi Hatai, that includes angelic beings. Manna Limo Satai. Remember, it was foremost on his mind when the disciples asked him that, Lord, can you teach us how to pray? Say, oh God, are you ready? When you pray, say, God, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Now listen to the next one. He said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God extends from the heavens on earth. That is why God created the earth, to establish another kingdom, an extension of the divine invisible kingdom in heaven. That is why they say that, oh my God, everything that is happening to you and I here on earth has its operational rooms in the heavens, in the unseen world. And if you have no respect, if you have no regard for the unseen, for the heavens, then you are in trouble. But that is the reason why you and I have come as believers, to explore, to understand. And the Bible educates, gives us a lot of education about that kingdom of God. And the same Bible tells us that the kingdom of God that he established, we don't know when, but whatever it was, a kingdom that consisted of angels, my God. And at a point in time, there was a rebellion in the heavens. of which Satan was its prime head. And God quelled that rebellion in heaven. Amen. And cast them out. Such that now there is order. There is discipline in heaven. That's why Jesus said, pray, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, nobody frustrates the word of God. What about the earth? You and I, we frustrate him. So Jesus said, pray. You people, pray. You want me to teach you how to pray? Pray. Pray that there will be law, there will be order in the kingdom of men. Hallelujah. Because in heaven, the rebellion has been quashed. And if you have read the Bible well, you understand that God says, now I'm dealing with the earth. Every rebellion. Remember what Jesus said? I'll build my kingdom and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. By and by, ultimately, the kingdom of God here on earth, his will here on earth will be established. So the kingdom of God, as I'm saying, was so high on the mind of Jesus. Amen. And the church, if you like, forms a critical part of that kingdom of God. Yes. Because the church is supposed to be the redeemed. People who have aligned their will with that of God. Just like in heaven. Amen. Where there's law, there's order. And God reigns supreme. When he speaks, nobody frustrates it. It is executed. Amen. And God came and redeemed the church who will be obedient and subservient to him. And Jesus said, pray that thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It was a burden on Jesus' heart. The church will be obedient to him because we form a critical part of God's entire kingdom. A kingdom that consists not just of God and then the angelic beings, but of men, mortal men. That was the original plan when God created man. They were all supposed to be an extension of God's kingdom. And that's why I said that critical part, that though Adam and Eve were created here on earth, that ability to connect with the kingdom of heaven was so crucial because it's one complete extension. And that's why you and I must be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. He's our link. The Holy Spirit is our link, not the angels. That's why we don't pray to angels. That's why we don't seek angelic beings. Another very important teaching or doctrine. Yes, they are there, but they are under the command of the Holy Spirit, not us. Oh my God, not us. I don't have a problem if you can come and tell me that, Pastor, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, I have a guardian angel, I should command him. The Holy Spirit, he came. Hallelujah. But ordinarily, trinally, our commander in chief is the Lord, Holy Spirit. We are not supposed to be dealing with angelic beings. We don't take their instructions from them. The Holy Spirit has come to take center stage. He's our coach, he's our mentor. I said he's our rabbi. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. Oh, I'm sure someone will argue and say, oh, okay, Gabriel was sent to Mary, so God's... I say, well, okay, if you can prove that it's the Holy Spirit. But if that angel comes, he won't come or he shouldn't come to give you any instruction. That would be contrary to the scriptural principles that we have learned. If I were you and he gave me a scriptural principle and I applied it and it didn't work, I would discard him. God has ultimate authority to overrule and cancel. If God didn't send him and you, he were hoodwinked. God is so merciful. Hallelujah. You frustrate that word because he didn't send him. Because, oh, my guardian angel and this and then all that we are trying because we want help. But the Holy Spirit is our helper. That's why we are not teaching that the angels as our helpers. The Holy Spirit of God. He is the representative. We have read it of Jesus Christ. He was given by Jesus for us. To help us, to guide us, to coach us, to mentor us, to train our hands for war. But they form part of the kingdom of God. And God sends them, they are ministering angels, that God sends them to minister to our needs. So it's not we who send them. God sends them to minister to our needs. So after that, that is it. Amen. If you have anything, you don't talk to them. You talk to God. We pray to God. So we are still talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of angels, as I said, suffered a serious setback like that of kingdom of men. But God settled it by quelling the rebellion. Now there is peace in heaven. Nobody dares frustrate the word of God. That's what Jesus said. The will of God, nobody frustrates. So there is peace in heaven. We are left with the kingdom of men. The kingdom of men, that segment of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I said the kingdom of God comprises the angelic kingdom. God, the triune God, as the creator. Now the second order is the created beings, angels, the world of angels. Satan and his cohorts were cast out, and now we are left with, if you like, a segment, you know, of those angels who never rebelled. So they are still part of the kingdom of God. And then the third segment, or a lower tier of the kingdom of God, is the domain of men. And once again, there is opposition, hallelujah, and rebellion on earth. You read the Bible, you can see it, hallelujah. Amen. However, God has come to redeem, amen, a certain non-rebellious segment of men. That is you and I, believers, the church. And therefore, we form a very crucial aspect or segment of that kingdom of God. And God wants to use us to persuade the rest of our brothers and sisters to become a part of the kingdom of God, whilst at the same time warring with the kingdom of heaven against the rebellious angels who are fighting against the establishment and, if you like, the prosperity of the kingdom of God. I hope I'm coming through. Amen. So that we would understand how we can cooperate to be able not just to establish, consolidate, and expand that kingdom of God. God wants it to be expanded. Amen. That's why the Holy Spirit comes. We can't do it in our flesh. That's why I say, put on the full armor of God so we'll be able to stand. There's a fight, a cosmic war that needs spiritual weapons to fight. We can't fight it in our flesh. We can't fight it with our mind. And that's why we need to be clothed with the Holy Spirit, so we can be endued with power from on high, so we can be sensitive to His promptings, we can be sensitive to His directions. They are spiritual, but He says they are not carnal, so that we can win. Meanwhile, He has given us some routine weapons, the weapon of prayer, the weapon of praise, the weapon of fasting, the weapon of modeling righteous and godly behavior. These are all weapons that you and I use to fight so we can consolidate the kingdom of God. Obedience to God is so key to it. So God's partnership with men is so high on His mind. He swore whilst here on earth that I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I've said it, that the church forms a critical part of that kingdom of God. The kingdom of angels suffered a serious setback like that of the kingdom of men. God settled it by quelling the rebellion. Now there is peace in heaven. We are left with the kingdom of men segment where there is still ongoing rebellion. And He has promised to ultimately deal with it comprehensively. And we remember the Lord's Prayer that He taught His disciples to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Let your kingdom be established on earth as it's already established in heaven. Listen to the next prayer point. Say, thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. The rebellion has been quelled in heaven and order has been established or reestablished. He exercises now unquestionable rule and authority in the heaven. No one disobeys His orders. There is peace, there is joy, there is order, there is grace. You name it. Hallelujah. As John reveals to us in his revelation and about the pictures of the things that are going on in heaven. Hallelujah. But He's determined to reestablish order in this segment of the kingdom of God here on earth. So His rule will be established over the entire creation in heaven and on earth.
And to get the process in motion, Jesus is the key. Hallelujah. Now Jesus has done his part. And that also bridge the gap between you and I and God. So that when we go on our knees, like somebody says, one man of God says that one of the signs that Satan hates is a godly saint on his knees and pray. One of the signs Satan dislikes to see is a true saint of God on the knees praying. Because he knows that there's going to be a connection between here on earth and the heavens. He knows that God will hear. David said, oh, this I know. When I cry, then my enemies, Satan and his cause, they will flee. He said, this I know, for God is for me. And all these things that I'm saying, they are in the scriptures. Hallelujah. Jesus, throughout his life and mission, kept focus on the objective for his coming and executed his part of the deal. That was to pay the price of redemption on the cross for all humankind. Now that that has been done, he had to leave. And the Holy Spirit had to come in to partner every willing man to execute the final phase of bringing the two segments of the kingdom of God together. Hallelujah. The already secured heavenly part and the yet to be fully secured earthly part that involves man, his star creation. Hallelujah. And then if you understand this, you can understand and appreciate why Jesus taught and taught and taught till the day he was taken up in heaven. And I believe the same thing. Every time I want to stand here, I want to go over the story of God over and over so we can understand and appreciate it. Where you and I stand in this whole cosmic warfare that is going on, it is not our war. It is God's war. Hallelujah. And you and I are wonderfully privileged to be invited to be a part of what God seeks to do in his kingdom. But we can't do it in our strength. That is the take-home message. If you have understood the war that is ongoing and your part that you need to play, Jesus played his part. He had to be done. He had to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. You and I must play our part. We equally need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. But you will not be able to play your part well if you don't understand the story. A lot of us are hesitant to join because we think it's not our war. It's your war. That's what we have all been drawn in. Then you don't need to belong to Jesus. But when you go there, Satan too is fighting. He will use you. Hallelujah. Everybody's a recruit. Either for the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Satan. There's no neutral grounds. You have to belong to one. Amen. If you don't volunteer for God's side, Satan will conscript you. He will take you by force. And will use you to frustrate the kingdom of God. And you'll be caught in the crossfire. So you better enlist. Those of us who have enlisted in the kingdom of God, we need understanding. Jesus spent so much time with his disciples, going over and over and over and over the story. The kingdom of God, explaining it. So that with the understanding, now we can set forth. And no doubt, it is not surprising because they understood it. The Bible says that when they left the Mount of Olives, about a half mile journey, they came and immediately, the Bible says, they went into the upper room. No time to waste. They had understood it. He said, wait. And the Bible says for 10 days, Jesus had told them, not many days hence, the gift of God that you need will come. They went straight 10 days. They were praying, waiting for the gift of God. When the gift came, the Holy Spirit came and empowered them. Now you could understand. Look at Peter preaching in Acts chapter 2. Empowered. 3,000 souls were saved. Hallelujah. But it begins with the understanding. I have always said it that a lot of us in church don't understand the Jesus story. That's why we are walking around, going around in circles. That's why a lot of people, potential recruits, we are refusing to enlist. But I pray that some way, somehow, as the story, we continue to tell the story, God will open the eyes of our understanding so that we'll receive enlightenment. We have been caught in between. You have to fight! You have to fight! Your own life is at stake. You look at the disciples, they never went back. Can you imagine it? They never went back. The tortures they went, the crucifixions and all that, the persecution, they never went back. Why? Understanding. 40 days, supernatural appearances by Jesus to reassuring them that, look, when you fight, there's a reward. He went up to heaven so that they could see him, that this thing that I'm telling you is not totally, there's a heaven out there. If you fight for my kingdom, you enlist, you fight, you and I will also be rewarded. One day, the Bible says it. It said, we'll rise up. The Holy Spirit was there. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit was there. Romans 8, 11 and 12, it says that what? The Holy Spirit, the same Spirit of God. If the same Holy Spirit is what is at work, it says that Spirit is what woke up Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. So that even when you die, he will be there. He will not where they put you. And even if your ashes have been dispersed, he will bring them together and give you a brand new body and wake you up again. Hallelujah.
This broadcast was proudly sponsored by the friends and partners of Harvest Chapel International Kumasi. Thank you for listening to Local Shema Hour with Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobi. We believe that as you act on this word, God's power will transform your life. Join or visit us for our in-person family service at Harvest Chapel International Dinyami Kumasi, close to Micklin Hotel and on the Sunset Road, this and every Sunday at 7 a.m. for our tea service, 8:30 a.m. for our Bible study, and 9 a.m. for our English service. You can also join us this and every Wednesday for our amazing midweek teaching service at 6 p.m. and on Fridays for our prayer solution service, also at 6 p.m. Remember that all our services are streamed online at Harvest Chapel International Kumasi on our Facebook and YouTube pages. You can also listen to us at any time on our online radio station, Radio HCI Today, accessible via the Radio King and Zeno apps. You can download these apps on the Google Play Store and Apple Store. You are free to access all life-transforming sermons by Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobin via podcast by searching for Harvest Chapel International Kumasi on all podcast platforms. For prayer requests or any other inquiries, please contact us via SMS, voice call or WhatsApp on 055-124-5252. We look forward to seeing you at our next service. Until then, keep living for Jesus. God richly bless you.